Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing? I mean, nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and welcome to Dave the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Program, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grief process. You know, with roughly 100 million caregivers in the U.S. and Canada alone, that's about a third of the population. That means that everyone probably knows someone caring for a loved one. Join Dave and his guests now and every Wednesday at noon Pacific time as they discuss avoiding caregiver burnout and surviving grief. So find a comfortable place to relax, kick up your feet, and prepare to feel better and to receive practical tips and tools that you can start using immediately to get you through today and every day so you can survive your tomorrows. But not just survive, but to live life fully and abundantly. Yes, you heard me right. That is a possible goal to achieve. And now, here's your host, Dave Nassani. From Los Angeles, a big Los Angeles welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I'm Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver, coming to you live globally through the famous Blog Talk Radio Network, as well as seven other platforms like YouTube and iTunes and all that stuff. And our website, of course, caregiverscaregiver.com. And our goal here is to do our very best to help you avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout. And we have an exciting show planned for you today with my lovely co-host, Adrian Gruberg. Hi. From the caregiver space. That was her. Today, we'll be interviewing wife, mother, caregiver, all-time amazing person and volunteer at the caregivers, at the Alzheimer's Caregiver Support Group Facebook page and website, Melissa Williams. Today's show is all about a day in the life of an Alzheimer's caregiver and the role reversals that ensue. So stay tuned. You will not want to miss this show. And I am Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver, Dave Nassani. And this show is caregivers of every kind. And the one thing we know about caregivers is that they are very caring and very selfless and very sacrificial, wonderful people. But they have this tiny little problem. They're very prone to burnout. Because they're so wonderful, they tend to put everyone else's needs above their own. And they give and give and give, and there's nothing left to give, and they get sicker than the person they're caring for. And do you know that a third of those caregivers actually die before the ones they're caring for? Statistic. And I hope that shocks you into doing something about that. And, you know, we can learn something from the airlines, because they tell us in the event of an emergency, put your oxygen mask on first before you attempt to help your loved one with their mask. And, you know, if you don't do that, you're just going to black out and you won't be of any help to anybody. Well, you know, we also talk about grief and loss here, because anytime we suffer loss, we are going to go through a grief process. And there's no way out of it. You can't go around it or over or under it. You got to go through grief. And unfortunately, if you feel like you are stuck, we can help you get through your grief. And I want to take this time and thank my last week's guest, Kelly Minnie, not a stranger to today's guest, because they both work at the Alzheimer's Caregiver Support Group. She's the team leader. And that was a great interview. And you can hear that interview and all our interviews, including this one, on my website, caregiverscaregiver.com. And we're so excited about my new book. It's coming closer and closer. It's going to be in September. And I know you all just want to pre-order it so that it can hit the New York Times bestselling list. It's called It's My Life Too. Reclaim Your Caregiving Sanity by Learning When to Say Yes and When to Say No. All right, enough of that. Shameless plug. Hey, a big welcome to my guest, Melissa Williams. Welcome to the show, Melissa. Thanks for agreeing to come on today. I'm so excited.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Pleasure is ours. I always like to ask our guests to take a minute or two and introduce yourself. Just tell us, who is Melissa? And why was she put on this earth?
Oh, I am everything. I am everything from a doctor to a nurse to a therapist to a chauffeur to a chef.
That just sounds like a mom.
Yes, but then, you know, I'm doing it for my mother, you know, scheduling her doctor's appointments, making sure she takes her medicine. Doesn't take
That's
her medicine.
The role reversal. Now you're the mom.
I'm
and
her mom.
The kid.
Yeah.
That's a scary thing, isn't it?
It is. Ugh. Yes. Especially at 35. This is not what I expected. my life to be at 35, you know.
And you're a brand new bride, practically 4 years.
Practically 4 years. Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Married her, got back together after first marriage. I'm telling your story.
It's fine. No, it's just, fine.
I'm
it's
just so excited for you. She fell in love with her high school sweetheart again.
Oh, how nice.
McDonald's or something.
Yeah.
But I'm going to keep my mouth shut. You just tell your story.
No, I even had the whole McDonald's reunion in my wedding vows. Yeah, it was cute. Yeah, so we have a crazy life every day. It's me and my husband, and he has two children. They are 10 and 7. And then together we have a little boy who's 2.5. We have a dog who really, really needs Xanax even more than I do. And
I can relate to that.
Yeah.
You'll probably hear her.
I actually had my husband take the dog and the kid so I could do this interview in peace. And then, of course, my mother.
Yeah, we'll get more into that. Of course, we have a dog, too, and we're getting ready to leave. And my wife finally says, "What about the dog?" I says, "Oh, crap, the dog."
Yeah.
Forget we have another kid, you know.
Yeah.
And so I call the hotels. Are you pet friendly? One said, "Well, only if it's a service dog." So you know, a few years ago I got the emotional. What do they call them, Adrian?
Emotional support.
Yes,
dog.
Emotional. We got the certificate and the little scarf that goes around him. And I says,
"Really?
Where? Oh yeah, you can make any dog an emotional support dog. Apparently now."
Huh.
And
That's
then it's easier
know.
When you get into an argument with the proprietor of whatever business you're trying to convince them that this is a support dog, because some of them say, no, only seeing eye dogs. But at my gas station, I've gotten into arguments with people who want to bring their dog into our convenience store, and they're just militant about it. Now, this is, you know, I need this dog for my emotional support. You know, I have post-traumatic syndrome, or I have, you know, anxiety, and and so, ooh, okay. So,
wow.
So, I mean, if they can do it, by golly, we can do it.
Sure.
And we're going to sneak him in anyway, just to avoid any confrontation. But if something happens, he's got a little thing that says support animal or whatever.
Well, there you go.
Because, you know, he's really obedient, and he's just no problem at all.
That's good.
Anyway, let's get to you. Enough about me. you know, I've got some questions here.
Okay.
How do you accept, quote unquote, what is, or, you know, reality, the new normal? Because sometimes the new normal is more difficult than the old normal, right?
Yes. Yes. Every day it gets harder. You have to be very open-minded. You have to do a lot of research. You have to be, I call Alzheimer's the hurricane disease, because it's different for everybody. It changes in the blink of an eye. One day it's on this course, and the next day it's like gone this way. And it's relentless. You don't know what you're waking up to every morning. You don't know who you're going to meet downstairs.
So just give us a typical day for you, for those who maybe don't have any Alzheimer's patients. Maybe they're just tuning in because they're curious.
Sure.
You know, it doesn't matter what the disease is. There's usually role reversals for a lot of different disabilities. But, you know, what's your mother like? What was she like? What is she like? And I think she's gonna be like,
before she got sick, she was fire. That was the best way to describe her. She was independent and stubborn and did everything on her own, wanted no help. And she was just powerful and admirable. She was actually, in a bittersweet twist, an Alzheimer's caregiver to a family for many years before
really?
She came. Yeah, before she was a mother and daughter. The daughter had early onset Alzheimer's, and then the mother had Alzheimer's. And she saw them through, and I'm still in touch with the family. My mom was their angel. She was born to give care to other people.
Do they still visit her in her condition now? I'm just curious.
No. Mom has kind of isolated at this point. A lot of times she doesn't remember who people are. Yeah. She remembers us because we're with her every day. But
does it make her anxious to be around people that she doesn't know who they are?
Yes. Or
maybe she
yes.
thinks that she should know, but she doesn't know, and she just kind of she's isolating she kind herself. Of just,
she isolates herself. I ask her all the time, do you want to go to dinner with us? Do you want to go to the store? Do you want to go to the park and watch the kids play? And I can think of one time in the last 4 years that she's gone to dinner with us.
Mm. Make a difference and if you just take her and not ask?
She gets a little hostile is a good word for it. Yeah. Yeah.
When you disagree with her, she pushes back.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes.
That stage.
She's very.
That will change, by the way. She'll become hopefully more docile and, well, yeah, whatever you think.
I hope. I've read that it can go either way. I mean, I've read.
Can go either way.
So
she could get worse.
So many articles, you know. I saw what my grandmother went through. Just, it really, again, it's the hurricane disease. You don't know where it's going to take you, where it's going to go.
So the reality versus real life, when do you draw the line? You know, I know that a lot of wise people say, oh, just go along with it. If she thinks you're her mother, then agree with her, you know. And
yes.
So where do you play along with the game, and where do you have to draw the line and say, no, we can't do that?
Well, for many years, I fought it. I was like, no, mom, you're wrong. And I would take pictures to prove to her she was wrong, like trying, you know. And that was still, I think, when I was in denial of what we were really
You never won with. Those arguments, did you?
Never. Never. The pictures
all
were wrong.
All the proof,
you know,
all the
everything
forensic
was
evidence.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
It was all wrong. But, you know, recently, over the winter, for example, there was a TV show about Oak Island in Nova Scotia. Mm-hmm. So in her mind, as it dies somewhere, she became convinced that she had been to Oak Island in Nova Scotia twice on day trips from North Carolina, day trips, you know. But I mean, she has legitimate memories of being in a car, of being with these men, of going to libraries and doing research. Yeah.
Called delusions, by the way.
Yes, absolutely. Very delusional.
You make up stories to fit with the reality that you have convinced yourself is real in your mind.
Right. So this was one of those times where everybody else was telling her, no, this didn't happen. But it was so real to her that it was literally driving her crazy. Mm-hmm. So I actually reached out to the people from the show.
Really?
And I was like, you know what? I'm going to test a theory. And I was like, you know, in my email, this is probably the weirdest email you'll ever receive in your life. And I explained the situation, and I was like, you know, if you could just send an email or a letter saying, thank you for your participation. So maybe I can put this to rest. And do you know that they did it?
Really?
They did it. They sent the letter. And when she got it, it was like Christmas. Her eyes lit up so big. And she said,
I knew I wasn't crazy.
That's what she said. That's exactly what she said. And she was like, so we can really put this to bed now. We can really let this go. I was like, mom, I didn't forge the letter. It came in the mail. I mean, it's postmarked from Michigan. I haven't been to Michigan lately. So, you know, she thinks that I was a very tidy child. I was not a tidy child. She thinks my sister was a very tidy child. Neither was she. I'm like, yes, Mom, we were very neat. We did everything that you said, you know. As long, and I just feel like it's so much easier to step into their reality than to try and drag them back into ours. Because our reality to them becomes scary because they don't know it anymore.
Yeah. Now, she still has real memories, right? She can maybe carry on a conversation with you about things that really did happen, and then she's gone again, yes?
Yes. But she passed. Not so much, not current events. Her short-term memory is gone.
Right.
Long-term memory is a bit muddled. She can't remember what city she was born in, for example. But again, I don't argue. She used to talk a lot about her past, and she was a heck of a, I mean, she raised a ruckus when she was younger. And
kind of like
stories are kind of, like me. But they're fading. You know, you ask now and she doesn't remember friends' names. And, you know, my middle name came from her best friend who passed away from cancer. And she has no idea who I'm talking about.
How old is your mom now?
She's 73.
Okay.
I was a surprise. She was, she turned 37 shortly after she had me. So.
Does she know how old she is?
No. Well, it depends on the day. Some days yes, some days no. But she doesn't know what year it is.
So how do you find time for yourself? You know, you've got, and before you answer that, I wanted to ask you, I forgot before, what's it like being a stepmom to older children? I mean, did you have any children yourself? Or
I didn't. Not when we got married.
So how hard was that being a stepmom? Just, that's got to be stressful too.
That was stressful. It's very stressful, especially because due to circumstances, their moms aren't currently around. And, you know, I was fortunate that they were young when we became involved. My stepdaughter was 5 at the time and my stepson was 2.5. There's definitely been some bumps in the road and it's hard for them to understand what's going on with Granny or Miss Beverly, as they call her. You know, because she can she lashes out. It's like her filter's gone. And we keep a really open dialogue with the kids about what's going on with her, about how she's deteriorating. But that was a rough transition, just being a stepmom.
You know, remind me, I was in Cambridge speaking at Harvard, and I mean, I met so many people there, and every one of them has written a book, and I met someone who wrote a book about being a stepmom and all of the stuff that you would relate to. I will connect you with her and you've got to read her book.
Please. I would love
she did a talk. She did a talk on it and says, oh my God, I need to connect this woman with every single stepmom that I know because, you can really relate and you'll become best friends. So remind me, don't let me forget.
That sounds lovely. I will.
Okay. Well, let's take, I think it's time for a break.
Okay.
So don't go away. We will be right back.
One arm, one leg, 100 words. Overcoming unbelievable hardships is about Charlene, a stroke survivor. Back in 1996, Charlene was a healthy, normal, very active 52-year-old woman whose amazing talents resemble that of both a Martha Stewart and a Wonder Woman. But all that changed when she suffered a massive stroke that left her severely speech impaired and paralyzed on the right side. Who am I? My name is David. I've had the privilege of being Charlene's husband since 1975. We had a wonderful, fairy tale, storybook-like courtship that culminated in our marriage a year later. Charlene had just come out of a marriage where after 10 years, she received two black eyes and a broken nose by her former husband when he came home high on speed. Charlene believed in no second chances of any kind for abuse, so she left. Finding herself all alone in the world with her 5 and 10-year-old daughters, Cynthia Lorraine and Deborah Lynn, she started raising them by herself for the next 2 years. Then fate brought us all together. After falling in love with Charlene, Cindy, and Debbie, our love then produced Rebecca Elizabeth. We had a wonderful, normal life for the next 20 years. But today, things are very different for everyone. One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships is the amazing story of a woman's fight to survive all that life had thrown her way. Everyone who knows Charlene is thoroughly amazed at how she lives day by day, month by month, year by year, and with a smile on her face and hope in her heart that everything is going to be okay. Her faith in God is her foundation in this hope, that everything happens for a reason, and what doesn't kill her will make her stronger. She inspires everyone who meets her. Her accomplishments since her stroke are very impressive, often making us normal people look like whiners and complainers. So pick up your copy of One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships today. You won't be disappointed. Just hear what best-selling author Lynn Barrington has to say about it. If you think you have it bad, read this book. This is a beautiful, genuine story told from the heart. It's inspiring and easy to read. When you finish this book, you'll be able to look at your concerns in a new light. How about the reaction of 9-time Grammy and Dove Award recipient, the godfather of contemporary gospel Christian music, Andre Crouch? Charlene just won't let the promises of God go, and she has not let her circumstances get in the way of her faith. She's not just a survivor, she's more than a conqueror, as the Bible states. You'll be encouraged by her testimony, regardless of what you're going through. Available everywhere. But if you purchase your copy directly from the author's website, onearmoneleg100words.com, Charlene and David will personally autograph your copy. Enjoy.
And we're back with Melissa Williams and Adrian Gruberg. And I want to continue our questioning. What do you do when you have little to no respite care? That is such a big topic. And that's probably the number one thing that people complain about. I know it's probably is with you too, Adrian. Is
yeah.
that I
Isolation
have no help.
And,
yes. I can't afford help. My siblings won't help. I'm all alone. I haven't seen anybody on the outside of my house for 5 years. I have no friends. I'm sick. My back hurts. I mean, you name it.
Oh yeah, it's a lonely, lonely path. And I will say that. Through this, you really do find out who your friends are.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You find out who your family is, who your people yep. are, your tribe, you know? And I tell you, I'm kind of shocked at how quickly it dwindled. But, you know, my sister, she lives far away. And she always says that I inherited the caregiver gene from my mom. That I was born to do things like this.
That makes her not feel guilty to say that.
Right.
Yes. But no, I mean, she's good. And she actually did come recently and hang out with mom. So the family and I could get away for a few days. It was our first ever vacation and it was amazing. Cool. So far as little to no respite care, it's complicated because like with me, mom is mild to moderate Alzheimer's, so she's not technically completely incapable. She can still go to the bathroom on her own. She can make a sandwich, pour a drink, can't use the oven. That's a no-no.
No.
But it's the guilt that you feel, leaving them alone, trying to live a normal life.
How do you keep her away from the oven? Because she can't remember that she can't use the oven, right?
She can't figure it out. We got a new oven with it, and it's all electronic.
Computerized oven.
She can't figure it out. So right. that works out great. I mean, you know, it's to the point where She has a hard time working the coffee pot, and our coffee pot is as basic as they come. So there's not a lot of fear there. She actually did turn the oven on the other day, the stovetop. And if it happens again, I'll just start taking the knobs. I've already got a plan, you know.
Is there such a thing as free respite care? I keep hearing that government, county, state has free programs. Have you discovered any?
Now, my mom is on Medicaid.
That's good.
In addition to her Medicare. So her Medicaid
The golden ticket.
Yes. Yes. Her Medicaid does cover some respite care. I'm kind of on the fence about it. I feel a little silly sometimes because, you know, if a complete stranger were to come up and meet my mom, they would think, oh, she's just an old lady with a little, she's a little cuckoo, you know.
Yeah, they can fool outsiders, can't they?
They really, really can. They're very tricky.
Sometimes they can fool doctors.
They can, but luckily her doctor is fantastic, and he is no BS.
I wish my mother-in-law's doctor was fantastic.
I'm telling you, you gotta just advocate until you get what you want. We're actually going for our second neuro consult. I want a second opinion because I think there's additional things going on, and I'm not gonna stop. She's my mother, you know.
Good for you.
So advocate.
The caregiver heart.
Yeah, I guess.
You have something to say, Adrian? I heard you take a breath.
No, it's the caregiver heart. I was born with it, and
it's a blessing and a curse, isn't it?
It's a blessing and a curse, and I'm in a position now where I've chosen to be a caregiver to caregivers, so. I just can't stop.
Gluttony for punishment.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's just like with my volunteer work. And, you know, I've found so much rejection.
As if you don't have enough to do already.
But, you know, it's funny how it all worked out. I was in a very dark place. I was very lonely. And
it was your support.
Yeah. And they just kind of fell into my lap and it took off and we all connected really quickly. And They're my family, you know. They get it. I call people that don't understand Alzheimer's non-Alzies because we speak our own language.
I know she you wanted to use a different title for the show.
Yeah.
What did you say it was?
Sundowners.
Yeah, and
Sundowners
I'm saying,
and not barbecues.
What's a sundown? I don't get it. You know, and she had to explain it to me. Did you get it, Adrian?
Well, I know what a sundowner is, so.
You do?
Yeah.
I guess it's just me then.
No, it's not just you.
No, there are lots of
people who don't know. I mean,
My mother had dementia, and my other one has dementia, the mother-in-law, and I still didn't know what it was.
But it doesn't mean that they have sundowners.
Well, what is sundowners? That they get worse when the sun goes down?
A certain time of day, yes.
Yeah.
Really?
And typically tends to be in the evening. There's a lot of different theories. Overstimulation, they're overtired, lack of light. So if they have visual disturbances to begin with, it makes it even harder for them to see. Yeah. A lot of commotion. And, you know, especially in our house with three kids, by evening, it's kind of crazy. And I do see a lot of... that's when she'll walk around a lot. She wanders around the house, picking everything up, putting it down, touching everything, looking out the windows, just almost like ticks, you know. But it's just it's in the evening, and during the daytime, sometimes she's quite pleasant. And almost
normal. When I was in my hotel room in Cambridge, I was flipping through the channels, and it turned on one of the channels I flipped through. I recognized the music from it, but I couldn't put my finger on it. And then it was the movie The Notebook, and it was the scene of where they were dancing to that song. I'll be seeing you, you know. And I just
It's so
I just started crying.
Yeah, it's so sad.
And I watched the scene all through where, you know, she was back and they were together and I love you and she's just talking like she's in reality. And then all of a sudden she says, let's get out of here. Let's get the car. Let's just get out of here. And he says, I don't think that's a good idea. She goes, why not? And all of a sudden, you know, it's like, because, darling. She goes, why'd you call me darling? Who are you? Do I know you? Am I supposed to know you? And then she just started freaking out and makes me.
Yeah, I can't watch that movie anymore.
It's like, stuck me into that one. It's just such a sad story. I can't think of a sadder story than that. You know, it's so sad. So cheer us up.
Sure. Okay.
Here's a great question that'll cheer us up. How do you deal with the daily grief of watching your loved ones slowly fade away? Yeah, that's an upper.
That's an upper. Yeah.
That is going to perk your spirit. I do a lot of journaling. Involved in talk therapy. I go every other
Adrian
week.
Adrian likes journaling, yes.
I think journaling is really important.
Tell us why it's important. Tell us why.
It gets it out of my brain. I have a really hard time sleeping, but I find sometimes if I find a moment to journal, to just write whatever I'm feeling, even if it's hostile or just about mom's day.
Give us an example of different types of things you've written down, just so people can kind of relate that is helpful and healing to you, you know, unless it's
this is not the life I want to live. Mm-hmm.
Just real thoughts here.
I hate my life. I hate this disease. Sometimes I hate my mother. Even though I don't hate my mother, I hate who she is because of Alzheimer's.
Right.
And just a lot of anger.
I believe, and I was doing a column on my site called The Page Listens, and I believe that's true. I believe it you get it out of your system. It's talking by telling someone, just by putting it down on the page, and you can say anything. It's not even like anyone can overhear you whispering. Right. You know, yeah. It's yours.
It's a
totally safe place, and it's liberating, and it can keep you pretty sane when things are going crazy.
Absolutely.
To have a place to put that, because otherwise you carry it around. The anger and the guilt all get mixed together, and it's hard to get through the day when you're feeling that bad.
It's hard to breathe.
Yes.
It's hard to breathe. There are so many days where I feel like I have an apple in my throat because there's so much stress and concern and worry, and you know, mom is her immune system is compromised because of her disease. So anytime the kids start school, I'm like, they're gonna start bringing colds home. The last time she had a head cold, she slept for 2 days. The last time she had a UTI, which a lot of time in Alzheimer's patients, especially women, they suffer from silent UTIs.
I'm sorry. What is a UTI?
A urinary tract infection.
Okay.
Men can get them too.
Men can get them too. Yes.
Yeah, they're not just for women, but they strike her hard and they strike her fast, and she goes into a complete state of delirium and hallucinations. And last year she was borderline septic and she almost passed away. So it's just anytime she says something. I'm always on eggshells. Anytime she says something odd, I start watching her like under a microscope, waiting for the things to appear at the windows or
the next thing.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
what's it going to be today?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I say to myself every morning. And yeah, she has this, I think the hardest thing in my situation personally is, you know, I'm 35 years old. I can't live the life of a normal 35-year-old. I can't have people over to my house because it makes mom uncomfortable. I can't have barbecues because it's too much ruckus. You know, if I have visitors, I plan in advance. It's one person at a time. We sit outside. It's typically when Cam is napping, my son. Mm-hmm. My mother is obsessed with my son, my 2.5-year-old, to the point where I swear in some level she thinks he is hers. Right now she's right. actually downstairs angry at me because my husband took him away from the house. And that's really hard.
Did she have a son?
No. Nope.
Son she always wanted.
It's right. a child.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's hard. She wouldn't feel comfortable in with you know, a senior center, a daycare to give you some respite that way, or just to get her out of the house, you know, activities at a local senior center.
We like have that. A local senior center. They do not have a lot of programs available. Mm-hmm. We don't have a daycare facility per se. The closest one is an hour away.
Do they have those $2 lunches where, you know, there's entertainment and music while they eat and stuff like that?
No. We live in a very rural area. We actually, before I found all of these online amazing people, I started by trying to find something locally, somewhere I could go right. once a week, you know, just, we have nothing, nothing. Mm.
You know, but you can't be the only one dealing with someone who has Alzheimer's.
No, and that's part of our mission at mm-hmm. our maybe Alzheimer's caregiver something. Support is we are actually in the process of coming up with meetups where right. you know we can schedule meetups in our areas mm-hmm. To offer support to other caregivers who may not have access to online or who want the face to face.
Mm-hmm. This is without the loved one, caregivers only.
Right. Yes. Where we can, you know, it's like a 12-step program where you can go right. and talk in confidence and vent your guts out and know that when you leave, it's a safe place for yeah. you to say the things that you need to say and get off your chest and go home and feel a little bit better and feel a little less alone. So that's one of our biggest goal. And that's why our tagline is together we can make a difference, because, you know, our main goal is to remind caregivers we're not alone. In the pain, in the suffering, in the day in, day out, in the, you know, my mom constantly follows me around the house and she stares at me all day and I feel like shadow. I'm under a microscope. Yes. You know, I mean, we don't want people to think that they are alone because they're not. There's so many of us. And it's
even
nice
in a rural town.
Yeah, even in a rural yeah. town, you know, that's and I'm working on it and we're working on it. And I'm actually working also with the Alzheimer's Association. I'm trying to sign up to be a community educator. Which
wonderful.
I think will help me bring some more
you.
Valuable information to the support group when we get that set up.
You've come a long way.
I really have. And it's so funny because it all started in June.
Wow.
Oh,
I know.
You're June?
June, this
wow,
June.
Look at how much you've grown in 2 months.
I know. Insane.
Listen, we're going to talk some more. I want to take a break. You want to say, hold that okay. thought or will you forget?
Yeah. Yeah.
Write it down.
I'm writing it down right now.
Okay.
We're used to each other. Okay, don't go away. We'll be right back.
Anytime we suffer loss, we grieve. And a lot of people don't realize what even the grief process is. But it could be 5 to 7 steps ranging from denial. I don't believe this is happening. Anger, oh my gosh, I'm so upset this is happening. to a form of bargaining, how can I get out of this? To depression, which is a very serious thing because that often leads to suicide. And then finally, after you realize you have no more control over your situation and you're totally okay with the new normal that it brings, that wonderful, wonderful place called acceptance.
Being a caregiver takes a special person with passion and compassion. But even you can become a little burned out from time to time. The Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Show was developed to help you overcome obstacles, adversity, and burnout, as well as just having a place to rest, relax, and recharge your batteries. We've all been there, and you're not alone. Now, you can take the Caregiver's Caregiver with you. Get the top 25 radio shows in convenient form that plugs right into your USB car stereo or computer. Learn the techniques, tips, and encouragement we all need to better handle the day-to-day challenges. For around $1 per show, just $29.77, get the credit card-sized USB card to have with you anytime you need a caregiver's pick-me-up. Just go to DaveTheCaregiversCaregiver.com and order yours today. Go to DaveTheCaregiversCaregiver.com now. Consider it an investment in you and ultimately an investment in them.
We're back with Melissa Williams and Adrian Gruberg, and we're talking about Alzheimer's. And Adrian, you had something on your mind.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Melissa how your husband copes with all this and where your mom was when the two of you got together and how he helps you.
My husband is my rock. When we got married, mom was still relatively with us. Her short-term memory was going, but she was still, for the most part, okay. She actually almost didn't come to our wedding because she was afraid of what people would think, you know, if she didn't remember a name or a face. But she came, and it was wonderful. And she signed our wedding
certificate. She looked wonderful.
She did. She looked beautiful. Yeah. She did. But Derek is amazing. He makes sure that I get out of the house, even if it's just to run up to the gas station to get some M&Ms for the kids.
He's your caregiver.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. He takes care of me. He's like, go take a shower, a very, very long shower. You know, I went through a point where I was having panic. He is. Yes. Yes. If I will fight for him. I don't fight for many people, but I will fight for him. No, he's wonderful and he's good with mom. He's patient with her. He understands because his grandmother had Alzheimer's disease and lived with them for some time when he was younger. So he's able to help explain to the kids, especially Hannah and Wyatt, my stepkids, where she's at, what's going on, that it's not anything that they have done, that it's not their fault. He lets me cry just because sometimes you just need to cry. Sometimes
Absolutely.
You just need to let it out. He knows when to shut up and listen. And that's really important because a lot of people want to fix. A lot of people are like, it's not that big of a thing, or it could be so much worse, or at least she's still walking and talking. And I'm like, yeah, but sometimes she's talking to squirrels that aren't there in the yard. Or, you know, she sees a dog across the street. There's no dog across the street. There's no little girl in the backyard. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, everything's not all fine and dandy. Thanks, but no thank you. He lets me purge.
That's great.
And... That
that you're very blessed to have that.
I am. I think God every day for him, because if it wasn't for him, I would probably be locked in a padded room somewhere. There are days where if I get asked what day it is or what time it is or what month or year one more time, I feel like I'm going to crack. And that's just with mom. And then, you know, you factor in three kids and a dog and all the daily life being a homemaker and, you know, trying medications, medications failing with mom, having significant side effects. Yeah, not what I expect my life to be at 35. Definitely not. But no. he makes it bearable, you know. And I was reminded by a good friend last night that everything in life is a season, you know. And even though this is like the longest, most dreadful, most horrible winter I've ever encountered in my life, it's a season. And one day there will be life beyond Alzheimer's.
Good analogy.
You know.
I know when I was caregiving for my husband and his mother, I felt this is a season and it will pass and there will be life after this. And then I started to feel guilty about thinking about what my life would be like after this. And I finally decided, no, don't feel guilty about that. You can't. Don't want you to feel guilty about that.
No, you need they don't. That. It's morbid to say, but it's a ray of hope because you know it's not the rest of your life. Yes, it's
exactly.
The rest of their life, and that is heart-wrenching, but it's not the rest of yours.
Right.
Which is why it's so important and imperative that caregivers take care of themselves so that when the end does come and life comes off of pause and goes back on play, we can start to reassimilate to whatever normal may look like for us in the future.
Right. A famous verse in the Bible says, "This too will pass."
Yes, of course.
How often do you let your loved one like steer the proverbial ship, and when do you have to say enough is enough?
I decided a long time ago that this is mom's ship and I'm just here to help her steer. And sometimes that's wrong. You know, I've made bad choices. Her first neurologist, I let her fire him, and I kick myself every day because, you know, that baseline back in 2013 versus her baseline today, it's an astronomical difference. That was a bad choice. You know, I admit it. But when it comes to things like medication, if she feels strange because of a medication, if the side effects outweigh any good couple of weeks or months of whatever that she might get from it.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like I asked the doctor, I was like, why do I want to slow down purgatory for my mother?
Yeah.
This is purgatory for her. She's she's in that in-between place. And I don't want to slow that down for her. That's torture, in my opinion.
Yeah, a lot of these drugs don't really make them better. It just prolongs their life, right?
It slows, some of the drugs slow down
the progression
of the disease, yes.
But that means they're just stretching out this terrible experience for them and for you.
Yeah.
Might as well let it go quickly, get it over with. I mean, that sounds cold, but...
I agree.
If I was in that position, I'd say, let's get this over with. In fact, if you have a gun.
I would roll myself off the roof, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, my mom's words to us when she found out what was going on was basically, when I don't know who you are, put a bullet to my head. I mean, really.
Yeah.
It was that.
Adrian, what was the name of that movie? that the lady
Julianne Moore was in
Still Alice.
Was, yeah, yes. Right. Where she wrote herself the notes
on the laptop of where she hid the pills.
Exactly. Well,
and she couldn't remember.
Up. Yeah, and so the video came up and she watched it. It came up by accident, and so she looked in the hiding place, and there they were. And she was getting ready to do it, and then somebody walked in and startled her, and they fell all over the floor.
And then she forgot.
And then she forgot. Right.
She forgot what she was doing.
But if she had succeeded in that plan, would anyone blame her?
No. I mean, I wouldn't. No.
Yeah.
Who wants to live that life? Who wants to live a life where you don't remember the names and faces of the people that you've loved the most your whole life? I mean,
yeah.
You're a walking, talking shell of who you used to be.
So the drugs that just slow it down but don't make them better, I don't know, I'm against them.
The new drugs for people who in very, very early stages,
yes.
They show promise.
They do.
So,
if the quality of life is good, yeah.
Yes, and, absolutely.
And
go
you
for
just
it.
Want, if you want to try it to keep it going, you know, I certainly understand that. Hey, I might be around the corner from that. I don't know. he's laughing.
Hope not. Hey, I see this doctor every 6 months because I'm concerned, you know. And she says, I'm just very close to borderline, but I'm not there yet. So, I mean, that's not encouraging, you know.
My father's two sisters, one of my father's sisters died of cancer in her 40s. And then the other two died in their 90s with dementia. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, am I going to be like my mother's side of the family where nobody had any Alzheimer's or dementia, or am I going to be like my father's side of the family? And will I be in my 90s or will it happen in my 70s? You know, it's,
right.
But look what I've got you doing, Adrian. You come on this show every week and you have to like think and come up with clever things to say. And that is helping your brain not to atrophy.
So yes, you're helping my brain not to atrophy, but there are a lot of other things in my life. This isn't the only thing keeping me on the straight and narrow.
It's one of many things. You know? Hopefully
yes.
you're doing crossword puzzles. I don't know.
I do crossword puzzles, but I put more store in keeping myself involved and
yeah.
Doing the good work that I do. So
using new brain cells that you haven't used before and so on and so on. Mm-hmm. So how do you maneuver mood swings, Melissa? Yours and your mother's. Yeah, it's mood swings, right?
Ooh, no. Her mood swings, you deter. You change the subject, really. You have to be on the lookout for it because you can see it coming. You can see the switch. You can see them getting agitated and irritable. So you just kind of step in and you slowly change the conversation. Look out the window. You're like, look at that bird. Do you see that bird out there? It's so beautiful. And the next thing you know, she's forgotten that she can't work the coffee pot, and then I sneak in behind her and make the coffee. You have to be diligent and patient, and some days you fail, and some days you argue, and you yell, and especially when it's a mother and daughter, you know, there's always that mother-daughter just...
dynamic, man.
Yes, that...
You know, I'm so sorry. I'm just let the time just drift away. I've got three more questions I want to ask you.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
And we have 3 more minutes to do
it.
Oh, no. So,
okay.
So the first question is, when is it time to make the decision to place them in a home? 60 seconds. See what you can do.
Okay. You make a list. You make a list of your boundaries. Mine are any type of physical abuse.
Hmm.
any type of really it's physical abuse. If she lashes out
toward
at anybody,
the caregiver. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Not even so much me, but you know, also the
anybody.
Kids, the dog, anybody. If it becomes physical, it's time to place.
Mm-hmm.
That is something that I am not equipped to handle emotionally or physically. I'm 5'3", you know? So that's
And how point. Important is it, and how do you go about getting your loved one's affairs in order if it's time?
That is the most important thing to do. And you start doing that as soon as they get the diagnosis.
Right.
When they're still lucid, when they can still make their own decisions, because in the end, you want to restore and respect their dignity as much mm-hmm. as possible. And you want to follow how they would want it. We sat
living
down.
Living
wills, advanced directives, yeah. medical power of attorney, financial power of attorney.
Mm-hmm.
So when the time comes, you don't have to make a decision. It is all spelled out for you.
Right.
Yeah. You know,
And what do you do when you feel like you just can't do it one more second, especially on bad days?
You go and you sit in your car and you turn the music up really loud and you scream at the top of your lungs.
That sounds good to me.
Yep.
Well, I don't know where the time goes. How can you be reached if someone wants to speak to you or, you know, get some information from your website and your Facebook page and all that stuff?
You can reach out to us on Facebook. You can look up Alzheimer's Caregivers Support. Our website is alzheimerscaregiverssupport.webs.com. We are actually...
Do they need the apostrophe with the Facebook page?
No apostrophes, no.
Okay. Yeah, so no, it's Alzheimer's just... Caregiver Support webs?
Yes,
.com.
And
a little tricky there.
Yes. We're working on that. We're actually in the process of becoming a nonprofit organization so that we can do more fundraising.
.org.
Yep. And
yeah, Adrian is nonprofit.
That's amazing. I may hit you up for some questions later.
Adrian, how can our listeners get a hold of you?
Well, it's Adrian, A-D-R-I-E-N-N-E, at thecaregiverspace.org. And the website's thecaregiverspace.org. And the Facebook page is The Caregiver Space. And we've got communities on there, too, including a few Alzheimer's communities. So,
well, I'm so sorry we ran out of time. I mean, we can go on another hour talking about this, or maybe 2 hours.
Yeah,
but
I can talk all day.
We'll see you all next Wednesday at noon. That's when it gets rebroadcast. And my website, caregiverscaregiver.com. Go there and take our free quiz. Are you a candidate for burnout? And just for doing that, I'm going to send you that book that you saw in the commercial, One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships, because every caregiver, I believe, has unbelievable hardships. So until we meet again, goodbye.
Thank you for joining Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Show. Make sure you tune in every Wednesday at noon Pacific time and anytime afterwards on podcast to catch more of Dave and his tips to caregivers on avoiding burnout and surviving the grief process right here on the Worldwide Block Talk Radio Network. Goodbye.